of David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel went in and said to her, "Greetings, most favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by what he said and wondered what this greeting might mean. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for he has been gracious to you. Ye shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will bear the title Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will be king over Israel forever. His reign shall never end." And so prior to the marriage, Mary found that she was with child by the Holy Spirit. Being a man of principle, and at the same time wanting to save her from exposure, Joseph desired to have the marriage contract set aside quietly. He had resolved on this when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," said the angel, "do not be afraid to take Mary home with you as your wife. It is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. She will bear a son, and you will call him the name Jesus, Savior, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this happened in order to fulfill what the Lord declared through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, a name which means God with you." Rising from sleep, Joseph did as the angel had directed. He took Mary home to be his wife. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, decreed that a census should be taken throughout the nation. This census was taken when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Everyone was required to return to his ancestral home for the registration. And because Joseph was a member of the royal line, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, King David's ancient home, journeying there from the Galilean village of Nazareth. He took with him Mary, who was great with child. And when they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the field outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem. How will you know him? How will you recognize him? You will find a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven," they sang, "and peace on earth for all." When the great army of angels had returned again to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Come, let us go to Bethlehem. Let us see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They ran to the village and they found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. The shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story expressed astonishment. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and thought about them often. Then the shepherds went back again to their fields and flocks, praising God for the visit of the angels. And because they had seen this child, just as the angel had told them.
With glowing hearts, I swear.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, there came magi from the east to Jerusalem, and they were saying, "Where is the king of the Jews who has been born? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed by their questions, and all of Jerusalem with him. He called a meeting of the Jewish religious leaders. "Did the prophets tell us where the Messiah would be born?" he asked. "Yes, in Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophet Micah wrote. O little town of Bethlehem, you are not just an unimportant Judean village, for a governor shall rise from you to rule my people, Israel." Then Herod sent a message to their magi and told them to go to Bethlehem and search for the child. "Go and inquire very carefully concerning the boy. And when you have found him, come back and let me know so that I may also go and worship him." When the magi heard from King Herod, they went away. Behold, that same star that they had seen in the east was going before them until it came and stood above the place where the infant boy was. And they entered in and saw the infant boy with Mary, his mother. And they threw himself down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and offered to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they were told in a dream not to return to Herod, so they departed to their own country by another way.
Oh.
Candlelight service, the Board of Trustees invites you to a dessert reception in the Grace Foss Fellowship Hall. I hope that all of you can stay for the reception. The flowers this evening, actually, I think it's a tree, are given by Clarence Bott with Christmas blessings and New Year's blessings for the entire Divine Science Church family. Clarence says, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thank you, Clarence, and best wishes to you, too. The 2014 flower calendar is posted on the wall in the 35th Street entryway. There still are some dates available for dedication. Now, those of you who have not quite finished your holiday shopping yet, you may want to consider buying some nuts because time is running out. The nuts are located on the table in the library and also in the downstairs auditorium. Beginning tomorrow, the church office and bookstore will be closed for the holiday observance. Our regular weekday hours will resume Thursday, January 2nd, 2014. The bookstore is open for a few minutes this evening following the service. The Tuesday evening study group, the Wednesday noon meditation, they will not meet while the church is closed. The Tuesday evening group resumes January 7, and the Wednesday noon meditation resumes January 8, 2014. Next Sunday, December 29, I will be your speaker. My topic is A Time of Remembrance. Three Divine Science classes will be offered beginning January 12 at 9 a.m. They are Basic Principle of Divine Science, Meditation, and Bible Mystery, Bible Meaning, New Testament. If you wish to enroll in any of these classes, you may do so by using the sign-up sheets on the table in the library. Please refer to the flyers in your bulletin for information concerning prerequisites, or do see the appropriate teacher. Also remember that you do not have to be a member of the church to take the classes. The church practitioners are available for you throughout the holiday season for either prayer or for counseling. You may find their telephone numbers listed on the back of the church bulletin, and they also appear in the monthly newsletter. Would the ushers please come forward for the offertory? In this season of celebration, let us take a few moments to pause and remember that this is an activity that takes place in us. The Christmas story speaks of the light that was sent into this world. Christ is this light. On Christmas morning, we are stirred in recognition of the truth of us. This evening, let us prepare the way. Thank you, Father, for the good news of the holy birth. I am that child. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Reggie and Mario. It's beautiful music. This evening, all over the world, Christians are preparing to celebrate Christmas. They are gathering together in their place of worship, much like what we are doing here this evening, to hear once again the telling of the Christmas story. Now, we already know the story. We have all heard it many times before. But still, there seems to be some magic associated with the retelling. Each time we hear about the angels, the wise men, and the shepherds, something in us seems to stir in recognition, and we find us lifted into a state of anticipation, into a sense of expectancy that something marvelous is about to happen. Now, in the retelling of the story, I think that each one of us discovers a favorite part, an aspect of that story that touches us in a personal way. Some will find their attention drawn to the nativity scene itself, where the baby Jesus lies in that manger surrounded by Mary and Joseph. Others will find themselves standing out there in the fields with the shepherds in rapture, receiving the good tidings heralded by the angels. Still others will find themselves traveling with the wise men as they follow the star that leads them to Bethlehem. For me, a vital part of that Christmas story begins way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, when we are told of that coming event. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And if I become still enough in my time of reflection, I too may hear the angel's message, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angel's message revealed that the time had come, that the long-awaited arrival of this child, which Isaiah spoke of, had indeed taken place. It really is a lovely story, which is why we continue to gather together for its retelling. Now, this event, which the story speaks about, it happened many years ago. Many of us are content to leave the story in Bethlehem, not realizing that it is our story, not realizing it is important and relevant today, just as it was to those who walked the earth at the time of the birth. Each of us is meant to hear the angelic message in our heart. Each of us is to leave our field of work and go to that place where we can find Christ. When the spiritual idea is stirred in us, we too must follow the light that leads to illumination. The story is our story. Let us not leave the baby in Bethlehem. Now, it is appropriate that the message was heralded by angels. Angels are messengers of God. They bring the spiritual idea to individual consciousness. We are told that the good tidings of great joy were given to the shepherds. So what do we know about shepherds? Well, the word itself suggests protection, guidance, and security. Shepherds are keepers of the sheep. Now, sheep are known as those harmless, innocent animals. Metaphysically speaking, shepherds represent our spiritual thoughts, the ones that the angels, the messengers of God, bring to individual consciousness. The sheep of the fold are spiritual thoughts. They are not exposed to the mental concept of human understanding. Now the shepherds themselves, they represent the consciousness that guards the spiritual idea. The spiritual idea brought to individual consciousness is Christ. Now for many, it seems like a new idea, and yet there is something in us that bows down in recognition, which is why we gather together each year for the retelling of the Christmas story. Intuitively, we know and we feel that the angel's message is meant just for us. The spiritual idea, Christ, is given to all people. It is not necessary for us to travel to Bethlehem to bear witness to this birth. Christ is born in us. It is the spiritual perception in each one of us, that spiritual seed planted in our own soul's awareness that really allow this birth to take place. It is written, though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, unless in thee the Christ is born, the soul is all forlorn. No matter how many times we hear the Christmas story, it is not ours until we hear it from within us, from within our hearts. What is stirred in us at the retelling of the story is recognition that this birth does indeed take place in us. Now, when our divine nature is revealed, when we have been stirred to remembrance of who and what it is we are, then what do we do with this information? What does a person do with this spiritual knowledge? When that spiritual idea of Christ is first born in us, it is pure and innocent, not exposed to the work of thought. While we have been stirred from within in awareness of the presence, we do not yet know that we can rely on it to live us and to move us. Like any seed planted in consciousness, it must first be nurtured and cared for in order to develop to its fullest potential. So let us place this new idea into the care of the shepherd. It is the shepherd, spiritual perception of our own soul's awareness, that protects the divine idea. Christ is the light unto the world. Christ is the truth of us. Whenever a truth is announced to the world, enemies appear who are eager to destroy it. Those who are not yet ready for the spiritual experience, well, they feel threatened by the light, and so they rise up against it. The world is not prepared to welcome the person of light, not really. So at first it is best to nurture this new idea by keeping it to ourselves, by not exposing it to the world of judgment and condemnation. Embodied in that baby Jesus was knowledge of truth. Many were not willing or able to receive truth. Those who look to the personal self as reality, they feel threatened by the Christ idea, and they wish to destroy it. We are told that Mary and Joseph took the child into Egypt to hide him from those who wished to do him harm. And the Christ is not returned until it is sufficiently advanced to be able to survive on its own. Now, I mentioned earlier that the angels bring the spiritual idea to individual consciousness. When we look deeper into this birth in us, we discover that our mind is the manger in which the Christ is born. Those enemies that would destroy Christ the Herods and the Pharisees. They are really qualities of our own being. Our prejudice, our bias, our egos, our judgment, and our condemnation. These attributes have become embedded in our minds. They are of the world, and their existence is threatened by the light. These are the enemies of Christ, and they seek to do him harm. But remember the shepherd, the spiritual perception of our own soul's awareness. Let us leave this divine idea with our own soul's awareness. It is this awareness that nurtures and cares for it. It is this awareness that protects it from harm. Let us not expose our divine idea, our divine nature to the world until it too is sufficiently advanced to be able to survive on its own. When Christ is grown and waxed strong, it may then go before us as the light unto the world. We are told that the man Jesus, he did mighty works because Christ was his light of understanding. Now the one who knows himself as the light unto the world, he allows his light to shine. That is, he knows that he of himself can do nothing. When we are called upon to do something, to do anything, let us understand that Christ is being asked to do it, and not us. Jesus did not accept the glory for himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives." He understood it was the Spirit of the Lord God that did these things. The Lord God does these things through his child, the one who is the avenue for his expression on this earth plane. The child is sent into this world for this purpose. When we are sufficiently prepared, we too may be about our Father's business. The person of light allows his work to speak for him. Let your light so shine before men that they shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The spoken word, it cannot adequately describe what goes on silently in the person of light, because what happens within the person of light, it will never be understood by humanhood. And really, what happens in our soul's awareness in our time with God, it cannot be shared with another. It is personal, and each will receive his own revelation. When we have the Christmas experience, our lives will change. As we nurture and care for the Christ idea, we unfold to greater understanding, and the world out here, it means less and less. As the truth of Christ dawns in us, the lesser decreases, until we too can say with Paul, "I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." This is the declaration of the person of light. It is revealed that Christ is the light that shineth in the darkness. Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And now we know. Christ is not a baby that we left in that manger in Bethlehem. Christ is not a man who walked this earth for a period of time and then left. Christ is our holy name. We speak of truth and we speak of light. We consider the word illumination to be synonymous with truth. Light is the symbol of truth. This evening our church is lighted with candles to symbolize the light within us. As we begin the candlelight ceremony, Let us be reminded that each light shines alone. Each light has its own message to give. Each speaks of personal illumination and revelation. And as that light is passed to one another, we share with one another the beauty and the meaning of the light. As we pass the light, the entire sanctuary takes on its glow, its illumination. This Christmas Eve ceremony is really a sacred, holy, personal experience. Let us begin our ceremony of light. As we light our candles, let us become still and feel the anticipation and the expectancy that something marvelous is about to happen. This is your Christmas day. Would the ushers please come forward for the lighting of the candles? I ask the congregation to stand for the lighting ceremony. Please join me in our meditation. In the stillness of this moment, let us enter the silence and rest in the glory of the light. It is with anticipation and expectancy that I await the Christ, the person of light from on high. In my mind's eye, I place me in that scene in Bethlehem so that I may speak of what I know and testify to what I have seen. I listen with my inner ear so that I too may hear the heavenly host glorify the Father. As I prepare for this sacred birth, I understand that I must nurture and care for this new idea born in me. Let it grow and wax strong, keep it sacred, and keep it secret. And when I can testify to what I have seen, I know that the birth has taken place in me. In each of us there is a soul of light. Those who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Wise men still seek him. Shepherds leave their flocks and go in search of him. This evening, let us each hear the message so that we too may prepare the way to receive him. For unto you a child is born. Make room for him in your heart. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May you have the Christmas experience so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.